Today, we are going to get started. I need to jump on into the message. Right off the bat, we're going to talk about XP. So this week, we're finishing up our series called XP. Next week, we've got a special blessing for you. So we started the month with my dad preaching. It's always good to have Cowboy preach to us. We're ending the month with Bobby, actually the guy that was just up here. If you don't know him, Bobby's going to be preaching at the end of the month, so we're excited about that. But today, this is my last message of the month, and so I hope it's good, because otherwise, this is the last time you hear me for a while. So week one, we started this series called XP, and the term XP comes from video games, and I know a lot of you play video games all the time, and so I'm just looking around. I know Kim plays video games a lot. And so I know you guys play video games. I know it's a big deal for you. And in video game world, Will, when you get XP, it opens up the door for you to get other stuff, right? So if you're playing a game with guns, some kind of shooter game, the more XP, the more experience points you get, the better guns you can have. If you're playing Minecraft, the more clothes you can put on your player. My son, my oldest son, plays NBA 2K, whatever year it is. Right, whatever the NBA game is that's currently out, those are the ones he plays. And one day he comes up to me and goes, "Dad, I need $5." I was like, "What do you mean you need five? What do you need $5 for?" He said, "I need $5 for my NBA game." I said, "Why do you need money for a video game that you already own?" And he said, "Because, Dad, if you can just let me use your credit card and I can put it in to the video game, then I can buy new shoes for my imaginary player." And I'm like, "You want me to spend real life money that I work hard on, like, to get, so that you can buy pretend shoes for a pretend person that next year when the new game comes out, you won't even have him anymore?" And he was like, "Exactly." Like, he didn't get it. You know, he's like, "Yes, you got it, Dad." And so so XP is a big deal in video games. And one of the things we're correlating that to is this idea that we really want to experience God in a real way. Like, I feel like, and I'm not one of these people that's gloom and doom and all that, but I feel like we're coming to the end of the book. Like, I feel like we're getting close to the last chapter, and we don't have time to play games anymore. Like, we don't have time to play church, and we don't have time to play worship, and we don't have time to play messages. Like, at some point, we've got to experience God in a real way. This morning in my Bible reading, Jesus said this. He said that in the end, the love of many will grow cold, but he that endures to the end will be saved. In other words, Jesus said, we got to get done with all the games, and we got to start enduring. We got to start loving. We got to make sure we've got an experience with God, not just being around God. And so we talked the first week how comfort keeps us from experiencing God. How when we want to be comfortable, we want things our way. It keeps us from experiencing God, because at the end of the day, it's all about what God wants, not about what we want. And then in last week, we talked about how the crowd sometimes will keep us from experiencing God. And I loved worship this morning. As a matter of fact, whenever that first song kicked off, one of the things it reminded me of last week, and I just was reminded of the woman with the issue of blood. Remember, we talked about her and how she had to press through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment so that she could be healed. And I just thought about that in worship today. I thought, man, we need to be pressing through the crowd if we want to experience God in a real way. But today I'm going to talk about something else. And in your notes, it's called Overcoming Mammon. We'll get to that in a minute. But to help you understand, it's really the term inventory. Whenever you're talking about video games, you're talking about inventory. And so I want to show you a quick picture here. This is from Minecraft. And what this is, for those of you that don't know, this is this player's inventory. And if you can look at this and understand, you can see he's got all his armor on. You guys are really impressed, I can tell. Lee, you know what I'm talking about. He's got all his armor on, and then look at all this stuff he's got. I mean, he's got two water buckets. You got to have water buckets. He's got some candles. He's got some arrows. He's got an emerald. He's got coal. He's got two pickaxes. I mean, this guy is loaded down. But here's the problem in video games is when you're completely full in your inventory, there's no room for anything else. So if he were to come across some diamonds, he can't pick them up. Why? Because his inventory is too full. And there's a place in our spiritual walk where our inventory can get too full. There's a place in our life where we can have so much stuff and we get so full of things that there's no place for God to move in our lives. So today I want to talk about your inventory. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 24. At first I was just going to use verse 24, but then I read the whole thing. I was like, man, Jesus really knows what he's talking about. I don't know if you knew this or not, but the guy can preach. He's good. He's real good. So here's what he says. He says, don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store up treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. In other words, Jesus is saying here, when it comes to your stuff, when it comes to your money, when it comes to your things, when it comes to your inventory, you need to have an eternal heavenly mindset. You need to have a perspective different than what everybody else has. I got to look at things through a different point of view than everybody else looks at things. He says it's not all about how much money you've got in your savings account. Now look, we're not saying it's bad to have money in your savings account. But Jesus is saying that's not the end all be all. He says you got to have some heavenly treasures stored up. Then he says this, and I used to never associate this with the verses before and after it, but it all fits because Jesus knows what he's talking about. Your eye is the lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness is. Let me just stop right there. He's saying this. Your light, your eyes have to be looking at light. If your eyes are full of darkness, your whole body is full of darkness. He's saying what you're perceiving, what you're focused on, right? Like what I'm looking at, what I'm focused on, my view, my vision of things determines how my life is. He says your focus needs to be on the light, not on the darkness. How many times in church have I had people come up to me and they say, look, if this is the line between good and evil, how close can I get to that line before I'm evil? Instead of how close can I get to God, right? Like that's usually how we think. We think with a selfish mindset of what can I get away with? And Jesus says, even when it comes to your stuff, when it comes to money, your eye, what you're focused on, what you're looking at, what you're zeroing in on is what's going to determine how your life is. And then he says this, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. For you, these are strong words. Listen to these words. For you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Now, another version of the Bible says you cannot serve God and mammon. Everybody say mammon. Mammon is it's a little unclear, according to Bible scholars, what exactly mammon is in this part of the text. Some scholars say that there was an idol, a false god that people worshiped during that time called Mammon, and he represented wealth and possessions. Other people just say it's another term for wealth, that it can also be used in a positive way. That in the Old Testament, there's places in the Hebrew where it says that we need to serve God with our Mammon. In other words, we give God our wealth, right? But for us today, we're going to view it just in the idea that Mammon is the desire for more things, more inventory, more money, more stuff. And Jesus says, you can't serve or be devoted to. Now here's the thing. In the Bible, when it says serve or be devoted to, what that means is to willingly give control over to something. So he says you can't willingly give control of your life over to God and at the same time willingly give control of your life over to money and possessions. And yet we try to do it all the time. But Jesus says, you're going to do one and hate the other. And that's the only way it is. It's black and white. There's no in between, right? And I want to say this too before we get into my illustrations. I know right off the bat, anytime a preacher talks about money, like right off the bat, people start tuning them out. I do too. I hate to listen to preachers talk about money sometimes because I just feel like that's what they want. But today, if you were to come to me and you were to say, Gabriel, I'm overweight and I've got heart disease, and I'm struggling with my physical body, and I were to talk to you about your eating habits and your fitness habits, you wouldn't be upset with me, right? You would be happy. If you were to come to me and you were to say, hey, Gabriel, I'm struggling in my marriage, I'm struggling in my relationship, and I were to talk to you about your the way you communicate with your spouse and the way that you love your spouse, you would not be mad at me. The same is true with your finances. Just because we talk about money or we talk about possessions or we talk about things doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. Jesus did it all the time. Why? Because he understood that what he just said, where your treasure is, there your heart is. And if I can help you with your treasure, I can help you with your heart. So today, don't be offended if I talk about money or stuff. Just understand that whatever I talk about today are things that I live by myself. So I wanted to bring you a little example today. This is not my backpack to go to war, right? Unless it's like war against unhealthiness. This is actually my gym bag. Like every day when I go to the gym, these guys were making fun of me earlier. It's because they don't have a gym bag this full. And this shows why I'm more fit than y'all right here. This is my fitness versus your fitness. I mean, your gym bag's like this. Mine's like this. So this gym bag does not represent my fitness. But I just want to tell you that this is legitimate what I take to the gym every day. I did not put extra stuff in here just for an illustration. This is for real what I have. And I just want to show you some of the things that it takes for me to go to the gym. So right off the bat, here on the top, I've got all of my grips. And this isn't even all of my grips because I think there's some down in there. I've got these grips in case I'm getting on a slick rig. Y'all don't know what that means. It doesn't matter to you. That sounds weird. I've got these grips just because my other grips are broken. So I've got two grips. They do two different things. In here we've got all, this is for my calluses. I got to rub my calluses down or else I'll start ripping. This is, that's old. But that's a wrist strap. This is another wrist strap. These are actually lifts that go in certain pairs of my shoes, not to make me taller because I'm short, but to help me lift better, believe it or not. And then in here we got a towel in case I get sweaty. This is my jump rope, and this is special. I mean, you got to have the right jump rope. This is actually an RPM jump rope, and so if you don't know what that is, that's very special. You got to have RPM. It's the best jump rope, according to Candace. Anyways, this is my thumb tape. So whenever I'm hook gripping, I got to have special thumb tape or I'll jack my thumbs up. That's what Josh told me, and so that's why I bought it. These are alcohol wipes in case I'm just really sweaty and I need to dry off really fast. I keep those in there at all the time. Let's see what else I have in this thing. More wrist straps. And then we get into the shoes. Oh, I didn't even open up this one. This one. I've got more lift support. This stuff is called Tiger Balm. It smells awful, but it feels good on your muscles. I keep that with me. Here's an old tissue. You know what that's for. And then we've got shoes. So if we're doing running at the gym, I've got running shoes. And then if we're doing a Metcon that has burpees, these are the shoes I like to wear for burpees, and these are my coaching shoes for the most part. Now, I did leave multiple pairs of shoes at home because I do interact, because I've got some that are red, white, and blue in case it's like, you know, some if it's like Veterans Day or something like that. This is my lifting belt. It doesn't really help, but I like to pretend like it does. Here's another set of grips. These are the shoes I wear for a lot of my Metcons if I'm going to do any kind of lifting. In a Metcon, you don't know what these words are, but that's okay. You don't have to know. But those are the shoes I wear for those. And these are very special. Look at these. Aren't those fancy? Those are fancy. They don't even match. And I get lots of compliments on those. These are my lifting shoes. So if I'm just lifting, you got to have lifting shoes. And so those are there. And then these are my knee sleeves because I'm old and I need knee sleeves. And yes, Bobby, they're not clean and they don't smell wonderful. This is my old lifting belt. And I forgot that was down there. So I need to do something with that. So, and then I've got my watch in case I need to know what time it is. Let's go, man. Let's do a workout right now. I'm ready to go. These pants are kind of stretchy. I can do it. So I just want to show you all of this stuff, right? This is my inventory. Now, here's the problem with my inventory. Every time I go to the gym, I carry more weight on my back than I do in my hands, right? Like, you understand, I lift more just walking in than I do in the actual gym. Because I've got all this junk with me all the time. But here's the problem that I have, is I've learned how to depend on my inventory, not necessarily on my coaches, not necessarily on my ability, but I depend on this stuff to make myself better. Because if I get into the gym and I don't have my right shoes, I struggle in the workout. If I get into the gym and I don't have my grips, I'm not doing pull-ups. If I get into the gym and I don't have my lifting belt, then I'm worried that I'm not going to be able to lift enough weight. If I get into the gym and I don't have all this stuff with me, if I don't have my jump rope with my name on it, right? If I don't have this jump rope, I can't just borrow one of the gym's jump ropes. Those are garbage jump ropes. Those are for new people. I'm an expert. I've got to have my jump rope. Show us how to jump rope. No, ma'am, I will not do that. This would be the one day I would trip and fall off the stage. Why am I saying all this stuff? I'm saying all this stuff because this is what we do in life. We get tricked into thinking that we got to have all the stuff to make life happen. And mammon traps us and tricks us in three different ways. I want you to look at this. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, it says, "But people who long to be rich..." Notice this. It doesn't say people who are rich. God never condemns people for having money, and he never condemns people for being rich. He condemns people for loving money and pursuing wealth above him, right? "People who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root..." Notice it didn't say money. It says love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. "And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows." So here's some of the things that I feel like that mammon traps us with. And I'll use this as an example. Number one, here's the first trap of mammon, or the first lie of mammon, is that things will make me happy. Things will make me happy. Ecclesiastes 5, 10 and 11 says, "Those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. The more you have, the more people come to help you spend it." I like that. "So what good is wealth, except perhaps to watch it slip through your fingers?" When I first started working out at the gym, I first started CrossFit, I did not have CrossFit shoes, right? I didn't have any CrossFit shoes. I just had regular tennis shoes. God forbid anyone should try to work out with regular tennis shoes. You can't do that, right? And so I started seeing people with CrossFit shoes. Like, these shoes literally say CrossFit on the back of them. And I thought, if I can just get a pair of CrossFit shoes. Believe it or not, I just wanted one pair of CrossFit shoes. And I saved up my money, and I bought myself one pair of CrossFit shoes. I want you to notice something. That particular pair is not even here. It didn't even make the cut. That pair is not in my top five anymore, right? Why? What happened? I bought that one pair of CrossFit shoes, and then the next thing I noticed was someone else had a pair of CrossFit shoes that I really liked, and I was like, I'm going to go buy those shoes too. And then I wanted to find another pair, and then another pair, and then another pair, and I started buying shoes. I need prayer today. Like, I need prayer already. But here's the crazy thing. The crazy thing is these shoes are almost new. Like, I got these shoes last December. They're a year old. And then I got another pair of shoes that at the same exact time, within a month, I got another pair of shoes. And it wasn't but a couple months later that I bought these shoes. Now, what I thought was, if I just get these shoes, I'm going to be happy. Until I saw another pair. And to be honest with you, there's another pair of Nikes that I just saw on the website. And they're like all white with gum soles. Oh, they're so nice. And I thought, I really want those shoes, but I'm preaching about shoes Sunday and I can't get them. No. What happens? You think if I get one pair that I'll be happy. But every time you get something, you're always looking at something else. What is that called? It's called coveting. And the Bible says we shouldn't covet what other people have, right? Because it's not going to make you happy. You think if I can just get what they've got, if I can just get that thing, then I'm going to be happy. But I promise you today, more things will not make you happy. The second thing is this. Things make me important. Things make me important. I thought when I first started, I thought I got to have the right stuff. And so I wanted a good jump rope. And I asked, I said, what's a good jump rope? Like, I got to have the right, I want a good jump rope. And at first I thought having a good jump rope had to do with skill and ability and making me better at jumping rope. But at some point I started getting a little bougie in my head and I started thinking, oh, if I got the right kind of jump rope, that's what's important, right? And then you start looking at other people's jump ropes and you're like, oh, their jump rope's not that good, right? They've got this other brand. You know, it's funny, my dad goes to the gym with me, and my dad's got this jump rope, and it's like mine's like called RPM, and this really expensive jump rope, really nice jump rope. And dad's got this jump rope, and it's like from some company called ijump.com. And it says it like on the handle. And I thought, this is the cheesiest thing. Like, why in the world would you? And I'm comparing my jump rope to his jump rope, and I'm telling him, Dad, you need to get one of these jump ropes. So one day I'm at his house and we're working out in his garage and I didn't have my jump rope and I just grabbed his jump rope and I started jumping with his cheap $20 ijump.com jump rope and I was like, holy cow, this is the best jump rope I've ever used. Right? Like, it was like, this is amazing. I can jump forever. And I got like a personal record for most times jumping over the rope without breaking with his great jump rope from cheap ijump.com. What happened? Put your hands down. What happens is this. I felt important. I felt valuable according to the things I had. Now listen, I hope you know I'm teasing about a lot of these thoughts. But the idea is still true. Sometimes we think if I've got the right car, then I'm going to be more important. If I can just get this brand of clothing. If I can just get a house in this neighborhood. If I can just have the right stuff. It makes me more important than other people. Or maybe it makes me more important than I used to be. And you think, and I think, the more stuff we have, the more important or valuable we are. But Luke chapter 12, verse 15, the Bible says this, beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. Jesus says your life isn't measured by what you own. Your value isn't found in your stuff. The third lie that Mammon tries to get us to believe is this, that things give me security. I told you before, if I don't have all my stuff, I don't feel like I can perform at my best. And that's really stupid. And so there are times when I will purposely leave something out to force myself to push past that idea of I've got to have this security blanket of all my stuff. There's some of you, if your bank account isn't hitting the right number, you don't feel secure. I've got to have the right stuff. There's sometimes whenever I don't have the right house or the right neighborhood or I'm not in the right whatever, we don't feel secure anymore. What's happened? What's happened is we learn to depend on our stuff more than we depend on God.
Proverbs 18:11 says this, the rich think of their wealth as a strong defense. They imagine it to be a high wall of safety. Can I tell you something? Your stuff won't offer you any kind of security. Jesus says there's going to come a time when all of this will burn anyway. I'm not saying it's bad to have stuff. I'm not saying we all need to be monks and nuns and live in a vow of poverty. I'm not saying any of that stuff. But when you depend on this as your security, now you're not depending on God anymore. And the whole idea of faith is the idea of trust. Here's the truth. When we serve mammon, we deny God. That's a truth that you need to know today. When you serve mammon, you deny God. In Job chapter 31, verses 24, 25, and 28, the Bible says this, have I put my trust in money or felt secure because of my gold? Have I gloated about my wealth and all that I own? If so, I should be punished by the judges, for it would mean that I had denied the God of heaven. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people and dealt with people and counseled with people that their whole life's pursuit is money, 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 things, things, things. And they leave so much behind, especially God.
No, yes, they're in church. Yes, they sing the songs. Yes, they listen to the messages. But their heart is far from him. Jesus said, there's some of you that your mouth, with your mouth you honor me, but with your heart you're far away from me.
And we do that sometimes, especially when this is our pursuit. So how do we overcome mammon? I need to hurry so we can get out of here at a decent hour, right? In Matthew chapter 19, we're going to read a story. Now, this story is repeated through multiple gospels. And so I'm going to interrupt myself when I start reading this story with a little excerpt out of Mark, who also shares the same story, but gives us one little detail that I think is super important. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, it says this. Someone came to Jesus with this question. Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? Why ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there's only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments. Let me pause.
I could preach a whole other message because as I was studying this, I came across some really cool stuff. So if you ever read this on your own, just understand this whole idea of good is really big. And I don't have time to get into it today. But I love how Jesus says, you're opening up a big can of worms, but I don't have time for that right now. And he says, there's only one who's good. But to answer your question, like Jesus is like, let's just get back to the point, right? And so he says, but to answer your question, if you want eternal life, keep the commandments.
Which ones, the man asked. And Jesus replied, you must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother. Love your neighbor as yourself.
Jesus goes into how you treat other people. There's four other commandments in front of those that are all about how you treat God.
But Jesus tells him, let's take care of how you're treating people. And so he talks to him about that. And here's what the man says. This is huge. I've obeyed these commandments. I've obeyed all these commandments. The young man replied, what else must I do? Mark chapter 10, verse 21, in the same portion says this. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. There's still one thing you haven't done, he told him. Let's jump back to Matthew, verse 21. Jesus told him, if you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions.
He went away sad because he had a full inventory. Jesus said, there's one thing you lack. Jesus said, there's a following me, there's a relationship with me, and if you want to have that, you've got to empty out your inventory. You got too much stuff. And the young man was sad because he had a full inventory. Why was he sad about it? He was sad not just because he had stuff, he was sad because the stuff controlled him. He was sad because the stuff gave him security, and the stuff made him happy, and the stuff made him feel important. And Jesus is saying, I want you to get rid of all of your security and all of your importance and all of your happiness and come follow me. And the young man couldn't do it. Why? Because he was worshiping mammon, not God. But notice he did all the right stuff. He was just worshiping the wrong God.
So how do we overcome mammon? Number one, we got to recognize mammon in our life. Recognize mammon in our life.
Like right off the bat when I started preaching, I knew this would happen. When I started pulling out all this stuff, right off the bat, I saw all my shoes and I recognized. Right? I recognized I got a problem. Like I see it. You need to recognize and I need to recognize whether or not mammon has a hold in our life. And if he does, we need to deal with it.
Matthew 19, 20, the boy says, I've obeyed all these commandments. The young man replied, what else must I do?
Here's something, a way to notice if you've got mammon in your life. If you've got a leaning, a bent towards mammon, here's how you notice it. Is that you've got a lot of things and you're doing a lot of stuff, but you're never satisfied. One of the things I love about Kayleen the other day, whenever she was getting baptized last Sunday, is even before she got baptized, she said, Gabriel, here's what I feel like God has told me. And I feel like God told me, I am enough. And I feel like God told her that not only in the sense that she is enough, she's enough for him, that she doesn't need to do more to earn his love. She's enough who she is. But I feel like, and Kayleen, sorry, I'm preaching to you for a second. But I feel like it's not just that you are enough. It's like God is saying, I am enough for you. You don't need all this to get me. So you're enough and I'm enough. If you get to a point in life where you're never satisfied, then maybe Mammon has a hook in your heart.
The boy did a lot of good things. He just couldn't figure it out. Number two, so number one, we got to recognize Mammon in our life. Number two, we need to learn how to live on less.
Live on less. I can get by at the gym without all this stuff. If I was really fit, I could get by with none of this stuff. Right? I need to learn how to live on less.
Just real quickly, little side notes on how to live on less. Number one, learn how to tithe.
And the reason I say tithe is because I do it. And my wife, well, my wife does it too because our money's together. But we tithe. And the church itself tithes. I don't know if you realize this or not, but the way we give to missions, if you'll notice, like, there's no place for you to give to missions here. Because 10% of everything you give, we give away anyway. And part of that money goes towards missions, and part of it goes towards the other churches in our network to help people out. Part of that money goes towards benevolence to help people that are hurting or lost jobs or need help. So your money gets tithed on. Your tithe gets tithed on. We tithe. That's what we do. Why do we tithe? Why do I tithe? I tithe for a couple reasons. One, it teaches me to put God first. I want to give Him the first 10%. But two, here's the other thing. It teaches me to trust Him to provide. If I can learn to live on 90% instead of 100%, then I've got to depend on God to make up that difference. And one of the things Perry and I've talked about is, we've talked about always, and I'm not saying this like in a braggy way, of course, but I just want you to hear the reality of where we live. We've talked about how can we make that percentage change? How can we go from 10% giving away to 20% giving away? And that's been our goal all along, and we're slowly creeping up towards, you know, that 20%, trying to learn, could we live on 80% instead of 90% and trust God to take care of the 20? And you know what's crazy? This is the craziest thing. We're not like money gurus at all, but we never miss a bill. We've got money in a savings account. We don't have tons of money, but we got money. We don't have the nicest cars, but we got cars, and they're debt-free, and we're about to pay off our house. I mean, like, God has blessed us. Why? Not because we're so good with our money, but because He's so good with our money. And we depend on Him. The other way that you can learn to live on less is learn how to be generous. Jesus told the young man, sell all your stuff and give it away, right? Be generous. Here's a way for you to learn how to live on less. Learn how to bless other people. If you have the opportunity to buy someone's coffee, buy their coffee. If you have the opportunity to provide for somebody, provide for somebody. If it's a neighbor across the street and they've got COVID and they're quarantined and they can't go out, go to Panera. Well, not Panera, I think they're closed. Go somewhere else and buy them some food and take it to their house. Why? It's teaching you how to live on less, and it's blessing someone else at the same time. Learn how to live on less really quickly. I only have two more points to go. I like to tell this story, especially with new people here, since y'all haven't heard this story. So one day I go to Five Guys when Five Guys was in Trustful, and I love Five Guys. I could eat Five Guys every day, all day. And so I love Five Guys, and I'm in Five Guys, and I'm getting lunch at Five Guys, and I felt like God said, pay for this little old man's lunch in front of you. And I was like, dude, I'm going to do it. I'm going to pay for his lunch. And so the guy is getting out his wallet to pay for his lunch, and I lean up like superhero Christian, and I'm like, sir, I got this. I want to pay for your lunch. And I told the lady, I gave the lady my card, I'm paying for this man's lunch. And as I did, I looked down at his wallet, because he had just opened it. And I'm expecting a moth to fly out. I look down at his wallet, and it is just stacked full of green bills. And I was like, holy cow, this dude's got more money than me. Like, he's got more money than the restaurant. What am I doing buying his lunch? Maybe God said he should buy my lunch, you know? And I was like, but the idea wasn't that I'm blessing somebody that needs it. The idea was that I'm obeying God who told me what to do.
So be generous. And then another thing on living on less is learn how to be content. Otherwise, you can't live on less. So Perry and I have just learned how to be content with vehicles that have high miles sometimes.
with my grandmother's car for a long time. I drove my grandma's car, and I had to put duct tape on the window to keep the window up because it was broken, and all the stuff was caving in. The ceiling stuff was caving in. It looked like I was driving a sombrero. And so it was I just learned how to live with less. I learned how to be content with what God had blessed me with. I just learned how to live with less. And in Ecclesiastes 6:9, it says this: enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. Just dreaming about nice things is meaningless. It's like chasing the wind. I'm not saying you can't have nice things. I keep repeating that because I feel like there's some people that are going to leave this place and you're going to miss the point. The point isn't that you can't have nice things. The point is that those shouldn't be the end all be all. Right? Learn to be content with what you have. Hebrews 13:5 says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Number three, I got to get past this. Number three, we need to learn how to invest in the eternal. In Matthew chapter 16, the Bible says this: what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Jesus is saying this. He's saying it doesn't matter if you make $1 billion and you go to hell. It doesn't matter if you have the greatest business on earth and you've got the nicest car and the nicest house in the biggest neighborhood and you've got the nicest watch and all the best clothes, but your kids are hooked on drugs and alcohol and they're going to hell in a handbasket because you've never spent any time discipling your children. You never invested in what was eternal. Can I tell you what's eternal? Souls are eternal. Nothing else is. All of this will burn. All of this will burn. You are what live forever. I've got to learn how to invest in what's eternal, not what's temporal. Jesus said, lay up treasures in heaven. Focus on what's eternal. The last thing is this. So Jesus tells the young man, he says, if you want to be perfect, go sell all your possessions and give money to the poor. He says, learn how to live on less. Learn how to be content with what you have. He says, and you will have treasure in heaven. He says, invest in the eternal. But then he ends with the same ending that I said last week. It's funny how this happens. If we want to experience Christ, if we want to experience Christ, we've got to live on less, defeat mammon. We've got to have treasures in heaven. We got to invest in the eternal. But if we really want to experience Christ, we have to follow Him. Jesus says, then come follow me. Follow me. Jesus says, if you want access to experiencing me, you can't have access to me if you've got a full inventory. Jesus says, I got a diamond, right? Called eternal life. I've got a diamond called my presence. I've got this diamond called an experience with me like you've never had before. And he already said earlier, and I love you, and I care about you, and I want to see you succeed, but here's the problem. I want to give you this diamond, but your bag is too full. You got to empty some stuff out. How many of us are struggling to receive from God because our life is too full of stuff? This just hit me just now. What if it's not just our life, but it's our time is too full of stuff? What if it's not just about money? What if it's not just about things? What if it's about our time? And what if we have filled up the inventory of our time so full that God doesn't have a place in us anymore? A couple of scriptures and I'll shut up, I promise. Galatians 2:20. Here's the thing, when you follow Christ, so we said earlier that our stuff gives us security, right? Our stuff gives us security. Our stuff makes us happy. These are the lies. But we find out that really Christ is the one that gives us joy, right? Christ is the one that is our security. He says in the last point that we talked about with the treasures in heaven, he says, I will, right? He says, I will never leave you or forsake you. So he's the one that gives us security. But the one about being important, here's the thing I want you to understand. This doesn't make me important. This doesn't make me valuable. Christ makes me important, and Christ gives me value. Galatians 2:20. My old self has been crucified with Christ.
It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live this earthly body by what? By trusting in the Son of God. And this is huge. Here's your value. Listen to your value today. Some of you may not feel very valuable, right? Some of you may not be able to identify with Kayleen when she says, I am enough. Here's your value right here. By trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He died for you. You are valuable. I'm not dying for you. I love you. I love you a lot. But I'm not dying for you. Why? Christ died for you. He loves you that much. That's how valuable you are. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Listen to your value for a second. Listen to how important you are. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? Let me pause there. Why don't I want to live a lifestyle of sin? Let me tell you why I don't want to. Yes, there's times I mess up. Yes, there's times I have a thought. Yes, there's times I say something I shouldn't say. But why do I not want to live a lifestyle of sin? Because I recognize the fact that God loves me so much and he values me so much that he says Gabriel Wright is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in me. So therefore, I don't want to do the things that I used to do. I don't want to do the things that the world says is okay for me to do, that the crowd is pushing me to do. I don't want to do those things. Why? Because I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. I'm valuable. Very silly illustration. These shoes cost me a lot of money. Like, this is a $130 pair of tennis shoes. I know you're like, Gabriel, you're crazy. I told you I'm not a money guru. $130 pair of tennis shoes. Let me tell you something about these shoes. To me, they're valuable. So you know what I don't do? I never walk outside the gym in these shoes. Before I leave the gym, I put on a different pair of shoes to walk in the gravel and in the mud and in the grass. I treat shoes that way, and some of us treat things that way. Some of us would never leave our car outside the garage because it's too valuable to us. We got to put it in the garage. Some of us would never take our rings and just put them anywhere willy-nilly. We've got special places for them because they're too valuable to us. But here's what we do. We do with our souls whatever we want to do, and we tread them out in the dirt and in the mud and in the gravel, and we live in a sin, and we don't care about what happens to our soul because we don't realize how valuable it is to God. You are valuable to him. So much so that he wants his spirit to live inside of you. You are the temple. I didn't even finish that verse. You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. The high price was the life of Christ. So you must honor God with your body. Last verse, I promise I'll stop. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. Right now in your own head, I want you to think to yourself, think, I am chosen. You are royal priest. You are a holy nation. You are God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Why don't you stand up with me this morning? What gives me value? My inventory does not give me value. My relationship with Jesus Christ gives me value. I'm important, not because I'm a preacher, not because I have a microphone, not because I have stuff. I'm important because Jesus loves me and he died for me. He makes me important. He gives me security. He gives me joy. Won't you bow your heads this morning? Nobody looking around. If you're at home today and you're praying with us, I encourage you, even if you're at home in your living room and nobody else is there, I encourage you to close your eyes today. Because I want you just to think. I want you to allow God's Spirit to speak to your heart this morning. Is there any place in your life where mammon has a hook? Is there any place in your life where stuff has gotten to the point where it's crowding out what God wants to do in you?
Maybe you're not serving God today. Maybe you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's what you need to do first. You need to follow Christ first. That's the number one priority. If that's you this morning, you need prayer. You're saying, Gabriel, I'm struggling. I'm hurting. I've got this issue with stuff. It's become my security blanket, and I need to break that in my life. I can see mammon in my life. Or maybe you're saying, I need to give my heart to Jesus Christ for the first time. If that's you today, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I want you just to slip your hand up and put it right back down. I just need to see who. Yeah. Lots of us. I want to pray for you right now. And there may be some of you, let me say this too, there may be some of you today that whenever we leave, you say, I want a personal prayer. I just want somebody to pray with me, someone to hold my hand and pray with me for something. If you need prayer after service today, we'll have some people down front. My parents will come down front. I'll come down front. We can get some folks to pray with you today if you need prayer for anything. But I want to pray with you right where you are right now. Lord Jesus, I love you and I thank you for every person in this room. And I thank you that the power of mammon can be broken. I thank you today that mammon has no place in our life, that we are more than conquerors. We are overcomers through Christ Jesus. And so today, as we choose to follow you, as we choose to live on less, as we choose to be content with what you've given us, God, today we choose to have an eternal mindset, to have our eyes open to the eternal, not just the temporary. God, today we choose to follow you. We give you our life. We give you our heart. Forgive us. Forgive us of our sins. Forgive us of this desire for things versus the desire for you. Forgive us for leaning that direction. And I just ask today that we would experience you in a real way, that you would open up our life to you and your presence and what you want to speak to our hearts. So God, today we give you control. Just like we sang earlier, your goodness is chasing after us. And today we're tired of running from it. Today we want to submit to it. We want to give into it. We want to lay down and give you our life. And so today we do that. We do that. Because you paid a high price for us. And so today we ask that you would come into our lives, forgive us of our sins, lead us and guide us every step of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.